Welcome to the Joseph Campbell Audio Collection. This talk is called The Arthurian Tradition. It is the third talk in the series entitled Western Quest. And now, Joseph Campbell.
The period of the Arthurian romances, the high period of the Arthurian romances, is exactly that of the building of the cathedrals. It's the wonderful, wonderful century from 1150 to 1250 AD. This, in my view, is the counterpart for later Europe, let's say Europe of the Gothic times, the counterpart of the Homeric period for the earlier Europe. We have two great Europes, the Europe of Greece and Rome, and the Europe of the Celts and Germans. And the stress on the individual not as the subject of the state, but a citizen of the state being a vehicle of his will, is European. And already in the Greek understanding of what happened at Marathon and Thermopylae and so forth, you have the appreciation of themselves as very different from the whole Orient. There was enormous respect for the Egyptians, for Egypt, but they were Orient. And in the Orient, you don't have individuals. You have people of certain types, certain memberships, certain races, certain strata of society. We're beginning to get it back. I say the Orient's overtaking us again. But there have been moments in European history, this little peninsula of consciousness in the field of the great Eurasian, African world mass, where the individual has stood forth. The throwing of the responsibility off on Dharma and Yeats called the primary mask, what is put on you by the society, relieves you of personal responsibility. This is the attitude of the soldier. A good soldier is not responsible for what he does. He is responsible for how well he does it. And that's the attitude of Oriental life. When a draft comes along and a Western individual becomes a soldier, very often he has a terrific psychological crisis to face because he has to move into another order of virtue. And it's the order of the earlier sort of humanity where there are no individuals but only agents of an impersonal order. And then no one's responsible for the order either, because that comes down from ancestors, so no one's responsible for anything. And you have an absolutely cold-blooded situation. I remember in India one time in Bombay, I asked a gentleman on the street the way to the post office, and he pointed it out to me, and I said, "Thank you very much." He said, "Oh, it's just my duty," and walked on. I thought, holy God, get a human response to a little question like that. Well, this Oriental religion, namely Christianity, with all of mankind inheriting Adam's sin and all of mankind possibly saved by Jesus' deed, with no individual doing anything on his own, the sin wasn't yours in the first place, nor was the salvation, this is brought into Europe. It's brought into Europe with real force. At the end of the 4th century, you weren't allowed to think anything else. And then, a couple of years later, of course, the whole Roman Empire collapses. And let's say the European Roman Empire collapses. And what we call Rome from then on is really Constantinople, which is Byzantium, which is Asia again. So this totally alien point of view is put on Europe. Europe had perfectly good religions and mythologies going fine. And then this other thing is brought in on top of it. And what you get then in the creative life in Europe is an attempt on the part of European mind to assimilate this and translate it into something like European thinking. And in my view, the great moment of that achievement is the moment represented in the Arthurian romances. You have a Christian vocabulary, but completely European form of consciousness. However, in the later 13th century, after the establishment of the Inquisition, we hear no more, or very, very little more, of new creative productions in the spirit of the Arthurian romances. There are rewritings of them, translations of them, and so forth, the most important for the English-speaking world being Malory's Morte d'Arthur. But there's no more important creativity after about the date 1230. Now, the backgrounds of this European consciousness are very, very deep. There has been a recent correction of the carbon 14 datings for Europe. Do you know about this? It was found that on the basis of tree rings, a realization was rendered that the carbon transformation, however this darn thing works, is not the same every year. So there is a tree ring correction that's been made in the European datings, C14, which has pushed some of the datings back very, very far, so that the emergence of civilized consciousness in Europe in the period of the great goddess is now being dated something like 7000 BC. That figure of the pig goddess that I showed is from 5 or 6000 BC. This is very, very early. The development of the agricultural life in Europe is early as anything in the Near East. And then we have, in Eastern Europe, this very important development. There may even have been a kind of linear writing, linear script invented. There are a couple of signs of this, in which case it would have been 3,000 years earlier than the Sumerian finding. And then westward of that, in Western Europe, you have the emergence of the great megalithic system, Stonehenge and Woodhenge and the New Grange in Ireland, and the megaliths all over the Carnac area in Brittany, and down to Spain. It's a tremendous development, and may go back as far as to 4000 BC. That's earlier than the pyramids by far. Pyramids were under the fourth dynasty, the third actually, the Step Pyramid, 2600 BC.